Thanks so much for listening. Before I get into the episode, I wanted to thank today's podcast sponsor, which is Coda Luna and their baby keepsake castle. I personally just put all of my baby's memorabilia into these little keepsake castle boxes, and they are so adorable, functional, and if you really love organization, then you're really going to love this keepsake box. So not only is it a keepsake box, but it also includes a baby book, and it has space for capturing all of the milestones of your baby's early years. And then the keepsake box itself stores all of the memorabilia that you want to keep. So baby's first socks and pacifier and the little hat that they wore when they came home from the hospital. So this keepsake castle with the baby memory book is more than just an organizational product. It's a gateway to preserving the remarkable journey of new parenthood. So take a moment to visit keepsakecastle.com today and embark on creating a lasting legacy of love and nostalgia. Hey, Angela, how are you?
I'm wonderful. Thank you. How are you?
I'm good. So I'm really excited to talk to you about our topic today. But before we get into it, do you mind giving listeners a little bit of background about you, your family, and where you are in the world and what you're up to this week? Because that's a big life change.
Of course. Thank you. And I first want to thank you so much for having me on your show. You are an idol in my mind, and I love the work that you're doing for mothers and families. And I just want to thank you.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. My family and I are currently in the Washington, D.C. area. I'm originally from Ohio, and we've been here about 10 years now. So this is now our home. And I am a former elementary school teacher. I did that for many years, and it was a passion of mine. And then once my daughter was born, it opened up all these new doors and windows for me, and I am now a postpartum doula, a sleep consultant, and I help facilitate what I call mama circles within the community. So I started my business in hopes to do exactly what your show is about in helping new moms build their village before baby comes and then also after baby comes.
Wow, that's beautiful. Thank you so much. So can you talk about how that, you know, old proverb, it takes a village to raise a child. Can you talk about what that phrase means to you?
Yes, I could talk about this all day. And I'm going to start with what really gets me fired up, in that, in my opinion, I believe that this phrase is, pardon me, 100% true. However, I also feel that it is often overused and misunderstood. And I want to say thank you to social media for that. because unfortunately, many new mamas and new families, they truly believe that the village is simply going to show up once their new baby comes. And it's sad because that's, I'll say, not usually the case. It can be the case, but it does not happen often. And then that leaves the new parents feeling that they should be able to handle everything that's to come. And that's simply not the reality.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. I think that proverb, that idea has completely been lost. By, you know, misuse kind of a thing. And I also agree with you that I went through that as well, of thinking, well, I think that people are going to show up, and like not necessarily communicating what I was expecting or desiring. And I don't know who I would have communicated it to, but I think that that would have helped. And it would, like you said, it was totally a thought that was going through my head, and it was setting me up for disappointment.
And that's a great way to put it, just setting the stage for failure as new parents. And I just want to note that even though we have this idea that as parents we should be able to provide, you know, mentally, physically, spiritually, emotionally for our entire family, that it cannot and it should not be just the parents and a doula or one friend or family here and there helping, because that is asking too much of everyone. And I want to also note that what I envision when I hear village is it would be a group of family, friends, and even community members within your neighborhood or the outlying areas of your community, all coming together to provide the support that we don't often think we need. So the support that I'm talking about is cooked meals. Now, as a mother, I thought I could do it. I could cook for my partner and I once my baby was born. And although I did it, I was miserable because I had not slept in hours or days at some points. And so if I had had that support, even if I did not want people physically in my house, it's often community members can come and drop off a warm meal and just send a text message that says, hey, dinner's on the porch, you know, enjoy. And that's one less task that we have to worry about doing when we're in the middle of the madness.
Absolutely. It really comes down to deciding what are you comfortable with, taking time to think about what you can kind of delegate away based on what you're comfortable with, and then letting people know, like communicating that is a huge piece of it too.
Yes. And the communication is 100% important, because I have had experiences with new moms where they'll tell me, you know, my mother-in-law is here and she's trying to keep the baby from me and she's not letting me do anything and I don't understand why. And I have to just kind of chuckle, because I want to say, many new moms would love to be in your shoes right now. However, it's not what you want or what you're comfortable with. So if you simply and calmly speak with her and tell her what you are comfortable with, then she will be able to provide the support that will be most beneficial for you.
And even, you know, potentially starting these conversations before baby arrives is, I mean, obviously that's the ideal.
Yes. And I wish your listeners could see my face light up when you said that, because I wrote that down so many places on my computer so I could remember to mention that the planning should not start when baby comes, because once baby comes, time, you don't know what time it is. You don't know what day it is. You don't know whether you're coming or going, whether you've showered, whether you've eaten. You truly do get lost. And so if you have it all set up, if possible, long before baby comes, then it's most likely to be successful.
Yeah. So I'm also curious about your journey from, you know, being a person in society to someone that is expecting a baby to a new mom. How did that journey go for you in the context of what you were talking about, of what you are so passionate about?
Yes, this is a wonderful question in that it will really sum up why I am doing what I'm doing right now. So when I became pregnant, I was over the moon, and I should start by saying that I grew up in a very small town in Ohio, surrounded by family, friends, everyone knew everybody. The people that I went to preschool with are the people that I graduated from high school with. And it was just very much a village in and of itself. And then I grew up and moved 6 hours away for a job, and that village is now history. So I, like I said before, was under the impression that village would just magically appear for me here. And that was not the case so much. So I became a mom, and once my daughter was born, I was instantly overcome with postpartum anxiety, OCD, and depression. And unfortunately, I did not have people around me to make me aware of what was happening. Again, I was just kind of lost in the spiral of becoming a new mom, and I was not prepared. I had not set up that village because in my mind, again, I'll say it was just supposed to appear. And because of my postpartum mood disorders, I was led to quit my job. Unfortunately, I loved teaching and loved the interaction that I got with those children. However, I was not able to separate myself from my daughter at the time. So that was really hard for me. So I lost all of those coworkers who essentially could have been my village as well. And so after many, many, many long months, and to be quite honest, years. It took me a couple years to actually start to seek some support and know that what I was going through was not the norm and that there were people out there and groups out there who could help me. So I began my search. I searched online, and please remember, we're in the middle of COVID at this point. So there were no in-person options, which made it even more difficult for new moms who did not prepare. And so I would come across a group that I thought could help, a mom group, and it would turn out that they weren't accepting new members or that I didn't fit into their newborn category because at this point, my daughter was not a newborn. So I kept hitting these roadblocks and I kept just feeling so lost and out of control and nothing was working. And so I happened to come across an organization called Postpartum Support International, and they helped me tremendously in my healing journey. And then I then started volunteering with them to help other mothers and fathers, actually, both, find support that they needed. And in all of that, I'm sad and actually quite embarrassed to say it was my supervisor at Postpartum Support International who actually informed me what the word doula meant. I had absolutely no idea what a doula even was. And so I thought, well, if I didn't know, then I bet there are tons of other people out there who have no idea. So I started my very long journey. And I just would like to shout out the people who helped me. So Marcia Thurmer, she was my trainer at the Doula Training Path. She gave me all of my education on what a postpartum doula is and does and can do. And then I had a mentor out of that program. Her name was Darcy Sowers. She helped me more on the business side of it. And so I formed my business for postpartum doula work because I did not have and did not know that that support was even available to me as a new mom.
Wow. I love that you shared. I love that you shared what you shared in the order that you shared it. And I love the content that you shared as well. So thank you so much for being vulnerable and open about that. And of course, I am a huge fan of PSI and I talk about it frequently on this show. And so I'm so glad that you found them as a resource and then you were able to give back what you gained. And I'm in 12-step recovery programs. And so like that's the 12th step. And so I just think it's beautiful to see that play out in real life in a similar context, right? Of like moms supporting moms, parents supporting parents. So thank you for not only sharing your story, but for doing what you do. And also for sharing, I just love how you wrapped it up with like giving a shout out to those that are in your village to take you kind of that next meta level of being a resource for parents to add to their village. So we get very meta here. And I've done that on my journey of finding your village in general, of like, I found myself first making content just to support parents and then becoming a birth educator to work with parents and support parents. And then now I find myself working with a lot of not only parents, but those who support parents like yourself. And so it's just kind of this fun, meta, amazing community to be a part of, and just to watch from the inside out. So thanks for being part of this community with me and for the work you're doing.
You are so very welcome. And like I always say, if we are not here for each other, then how can we expect anyone to be here for us?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So I call this whole experience finding your village, of course. That's what I talk about in the show. Can you talk a little bit more about what your experience has been like in those days of finding your village, which was delayed, which is very common, I just wanted to say, for a lot of parents. So thank you for noting that really important detail. But could you talk a little bit more about, like, what was it like? And did you realize in the moment that that is what was happening? And then what did you do next?
Of course. So I definitely wish that I would have planned ahead of time. And even if I didn't plan before my daughter was born, I wish I would have started soon after she was born. Because, again, it was in the middle of COVID, so the whole world was flipped upside down. And so I don't blame anyone or anything. However, I started to look and I found nothing, like absolutely nothing that I felt could help me. What I wanted and what I was looking for was a group of moms who were had around the same age children as I did, because I didn't want to be in a group with very new moms who couldn't relate to what I was going through now with a would have been a 2-year-old at the time. So I guess maybe I was a little too picky at the time and I should have just taken anything that was offered to me. However, I didn't feel it was in my best interest and I didn't feel that I would get what I needed out of it. So after my search online, I was like, this isn't working. Virtually, there's nothing there for me. So I went to my community that we lived in at the time and I started reaching out to local businesses and local Facebook groups within the community. And if I got a response, it was, we're sorry, at this time we're not able to accommodate, you know, in person or virtual groups at this time. So that, you know, I truly just felt like I was running into a wall with everything that I tried. And that is what led me to create my company, not only the services that I offer, but every service that I offer includes access to a mama circle or mama community because of that very roadblock that I kept hitting, because I don't want other parents to run into that. So let's say a mom finds me and they have a 2-year-old, I'm not going to ever tell them that I cannot accommodate them into one of a circle or a group, because what is that doing for them? It's deterring them from continuing to try and build their village, right? And so I will do anything and everything possible. And even if that means referring them to someone else that I know has a group that could better fit their needs, I am all for it. I'm all for this, building this network of resources and getting parents the resources that they need.
I totally agree. And I think that it is important, you know, that you resonate with others, but I also agree that, like, you know, just getting folks the support that they can use in that moment, even if that's not like the group they stick with long term, like, just, you know, getting them in touch with someone right away.
I want to just throw in very quickly, so my daughter is almost 4, and a few months ago I came across this woman who is, I get goosebumps thinking about her. She founded a group called Villa Advocacy, and they're very new, and they virtually connect moms within a group, and then they also provide, you know, formula if you need formula or clothing. It's almost like an exchange program as well. And I just wanted to throw this out there that me being in this group now, my daughter's older, I see what it could have been like had I found her when my daughter was born. Now, that would not have been possible because her group had not been formed, but it really kind of lights my fire to make me want to help these new moms find their village as soon as they possibly can.
I love that. And then I'm also curious, leading up to the point in which you said, okay, I would like support, I would like to reach out, and you kind of started that journey, which was years into parenting. Up until that point, were there any moments where you kind of realized, like, oh, even though the village isn't like going to show up, like, I can kind of glean these resources to kind of put in my toolkit of resources to pull from when I need it? Did you have any examples of that? Like, I think of baby sleep, especially as you became a pediatric sleep consultant. That's just one example that comes to mind for me, like my sleep consultant that I worked with when my daughter had issues sleeping at 4, 5, 6 months old. They became part of my village. So I was curious if you had any examples like that that could come to mind.
That is such a wonderful, wonderful question, because in the moment, I can say words cannot describe the pain that I felt when I was not able to find my village. And so I was not recording all of the resources at that time. Then once I started working with PSI, and I should say volunteering, and I started helping other new moms to, you know, build their communities, their village, and find their resources, I was able, and I was in a better place to go back and to think about all of those people that I reached out to and all of the people that did eventually along the way help me. So yes, I tried to work. My daughter did not sleep for the first maybe 3 years of her life. And when I say didn't sleep, I just mean didn't sleep consistently. And so I did work with a sleep consultant who then became one of my go-to referrals for people, and not just for business, but for, you know, if you have questions, please call her and get them answered. And I also found another group called the Womb Room. They're out of Baltimore, Maryland, and they offered free support groups for new parents. And that, although at the time didn't seem like a lot to me, now that I'm out and looking in from the outside, I cannot thank them enough. And so I often, you know, I'm pushing people and sending them there because they just offer so much that can seem so little at the time, but make the world of a difference in the long run.
Wow. I love that. And when did you become a sleep consultant? I'm curious.
That's a great question. So I did my training with Jane. Oh, it took me so long to finish it. And not because of the work that it had to do, but because I suffered from imposter syndrome, which I'm sure many other business owners do. And so I was putting it off and putting it off. And I graduated from her program, let's see, it's September, I would say in March of this year. So it took me until this year to finish the program. And all it was me submitting some assignments that I was just, I'm a perfectionist. So I had to, you know, make sure that there were no errors and everything was in place. But yeah, it was such a wonderful learning experience that I wish that I had learned the information when my daughter was young so that I could have used it.
Yeah. I know, right? That's exactly how I felt. And that's why I do so many podcast episodes, so many TikTok videos, blog posts about baby sleep, because it impacted me so much. Because when I'm not like rested enough to function, I am almost the worst version of myself. And it impacts me and everybody around me. And so I didn't realize how impactful lack of sleep could be. And now I just make all this info about it because I'm like, all this content about it because I'm like, if I would have known about awake intervals, I wish someone would have told me. Like, there are so many times that I say, I wish someone would have told me. And so now that's what I do. Now I spend all my time telling people about what I wish someone would have told me, because it could have made such a difference, like you said.
Absolutely. I don't know if you were like me, but I was told, oh, the baby will sleep so much when they're born, you know, when they're just born, and you can get so much done. You can, you know, get the house cleaned during that time. And I was like, I tell everybody, sleep when the baby sleeps, because you don't know when they're going to sleep again until they reach, you know, the time when they're able to start sleep shaping and all of that good stuff. But I definitely, I can definitely relate to you on that topic.
Yeah. No, I was told nothing. I was told, I went to a birth class. It was like 12 weeks long. So it was so intensive. I prepared for birth. I knew all of these things about birth. I knew all about, you know, how to bring baby home, but no, nobody told me anything about baby sleep. And that's why I did a whole section in my course on baby sleep specifically for that, because of that exact thing. I'm just like, nope, we got to say it. We got to say it out loud. So
absolutely. Name the villain, I always say.
Yeah, exactly. Name it to tame it.
Yes.
Well, I have really loved our conversation. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me, to share your story, your experience. And if anybody listening is thinking, this sounds great, I want to find out more about these mama circles, I want to find out more about what Angela's doing, where can folks follow you and find you?
Of course. And before I share all of that, please know that I appreciate your time more than you will ever know. I get goosebumps thinking about you because of what you do and how you're helping new moms and how you're helping even moms who, you know, the baby is months old. You're still constantly helping and giving tips, and we need more of you in the world. So thank you. If you are interested in connecting with me, I do have a website. It's simplypotomacpostpartum.com, and you can click the contact me form, and I do free Ask Me Anything calls, so you can connect with me just to learn more about what I do. You can connect with me with questions you may have about anything postpartum or preparing for new baby or pediatric sleep. I do work with older children as well. And also, if you need help building your village, I will gladly help you in any way that I can.
Thank you so much for everything that you're doing in the world. And thank you so much again for this wonderful conversation.
Thank you. Thank you. I look forward to your upcoming episodes. I'm an avid follower.
Thanks so much for listening. I love that too.
You're welcome. Thank you. Take care.
Thanks, you too. Thank you so much for listening to the show today. If you liked the episode and would like to hear more, please follow Finding Your Village wherever you listen to your podcasts. And don't forget to use the code FYVPODCAST to sign up for the postpartum class at pregnancytopreschool.net to save 15% today. Thank you so much, and stay safe, healthy, and connected.